This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The YWCA of Kalamazoo is responding to an increase reported in hate crimes, both nationwide and here in Michigan, with a new initiative called Project Speak Up. Emily Deering is project coordinator, and Demetrius Wolverton is community education specialist for the YWCA of Kalamazoo. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
So what led people at the YWCA to say we need to do something?
Well, I think that, you know, addressing hate crimes, that's not something that we've always done, but we've always done the work. Like, we've always done racial equity and gender equity work at the YWCA. And so when you are looking at the themes amongst the hate crimes that are happening, particularly here in Southwest Michigan, and when they're aligned with racial inequities and gender inequities, it's like we're the organization that needs to step in and start to do this work.
What do we know, really, about hate crimes in Southwest Michigan in particular? We've heard some things kind of statewide, a bomb threat at the Jewish Center in Ann Arbor, one of many nationwide. What do we know specifically about Southwest Michigan as we speak today?
Yeah, so in Southwest Michigan, what we're seeing a lot of are hate crimes in schools. And when I say hate crime, I don't necessarily mean something that is the legal definition of hate crime. I mean a crime with a motivation of bias against an individual based on their personal characteristics. What we're seeing in schools are individual acts of like hate speech, which is often classified as bullying. But what we're trying to do here is call it what it is, hate speech, and help give the tools and the resources to community members, administration, students to address this speech.
So explain then what is, if you could give a broad definition and an overview, Project Speak Up.
Yeah, so Project Speak Up, like we said, is a new initiative to support people who have been impacted by hate crimes. And we do that in a number of ways, through direct service, like legal clinics, counseling services, support groups, and through community education, which is going into schools and giving agencies and schools resources through presentations to talk about the dynamics of hate crimes and their impact.
I think it's also important to highlight that at the core of all of our programming or initiatives within the project is advocacy. And advocacy is doing whatever's in the best interest of the client or the victim or survivor of a hate crime. So directing them to this resource is what's in the best interest, and that's what Project Speak Up will do. Or if going into a school or an agency organization or a faith-based organization and having these tough conversations and facilitating that dialogue is what needs to happen to create an inclusive community, then that's what Project Speak Up will do.
Just to follow up on that for a moment, Demetrius, is maybe what you're saying there, that there are some incidents where it's somewhat more isolated, and therefore it's maybe person to person. And maybe in some cases it is more of a cultural thing within some institution where perhaps this has been allowed to fester in some way. And you have to kind of do some sort of assessment to figure out what you're dealing with when you get a report of some sort of hate crime.
Absolutely. We also have tools to help support that. We have a needs assessment that we've been sending out to agencies and schools to fill out about how they've been addressing hate crimes or hate speech or just the tensions that have been arising lately due to the climate and the atmosphere, you know, saying of the country. And we utilize that tool and we get that information, we gather it to build something and to facilitate something that would be beneficial for that specific community.
So let's go through these here kind of one by one and maybe talk a little bit more about, for instance, community education. What exactly do you have planned and how do you see it working?
Community education has twofold, like I was saying. So you can go into a school district and you can give a presentation on what a hate crime is or what a hate crime looks like or why we're classifying it as bullying or what or all these different things. And so there's educational opportunities for teachers and administrations to bring us in and facilitate these tough dialogues with their students because it gets uncomfortable. And you want someone who has knowledge and you want someone who's going to be able to address whatever tensions that may have been around rising in the school in a way that's purposeful and intentional and not that's going to fuel the fire, but actually give them a resource or some sense of understanding of why that may not be the direction that we should be going into. And then there's having like a community presence, right? There's actually being what we say we are, and that's like advocacy. That's actually standing up and saying like, we are out here, we're a platform for victims and survivors of hate crimes to share their experiences and whatever that looks like. If that's like a training, if that's like them, you know, whatever that looks like, I think that's what we'll be doing.
You mentioned there you don't want to fuel the fire. Is there sometimes a risk here of when you bring people together and you try to address this, that people tend to maybe retreat back to the corner they were in, and they feel like if somebody comes in to talk to them, that they're being singled out, or that they're being told to do something unnecessarily, and that maybe you just don't really reach them? I mean, is there a fine line to walk there to try to get to somebody and make them perhaps see that their behavior is inappropriate?
Yeah, I mean, what I think is so brilliant about this project and so relevant about this project is that we are really meeting people in communities where they are. So it's not a single blueprint that will be put over the community that will say, this is what you need, this will help you, do this and we'll be done. And that's where I think we can avoid those fires and fueling that tension, is going into a community, assessing what's happening, having all of the players at the table while we're doing that, and then having these conversations and figuring out what does that community in particular or that individual in particular need.
So explain then how support groups might work.
Yeah, so our support groups will take place about once a month, and they will be for people who have been directly impacted by the hate crime. The general model of support groups is being able to show people who have been through like and similar circumstances, and they can have the conversation together in a space that is safe, that is equitable, and empowering for them. So support groups can really lead themselves. They kind of go in different directions depending upon, you know, the makeup of the group. But overall, it's about creating a space where people feel safe and comfortable to have this dialogue and to kind of start engaging with their trauma.
I'm wondering if this is really where it's important to underline what you talked about earlier, that you're talking to people who are not necessarily the victims of what might legally be classified as a hate crime. But even if it doesn't meet that legal definition, whatever that is, they may still feel very upset. They may have been traumatized by some event, and that they still may need some sort of a support group or service or something like that. Is that where this is really important?
Absolutely. So we do have legal clinics that will happen once a month. And if that's the path that the client chooses, we will be all for and advocate for them in that realm. Otherwise, we are here to support in whatever that client needs. That can be individual counseling sessions, support groups, you know, community education, conversations. And I think it's also important to recognize that it's not just the person who was directly impacted by the crime, but also the people in the community as a whole. So people who identify with the same personal characteristics, people who, you know, want to stand up for their own community, that there is a collective trauma that happens when a crime like this occurs. And we want to address and be there as a supportive resource for people who may have witnessed it, it may have been down the street from them, or it may have happened to someone who looks or presents themselves like they do.
In other words, if there's an African American who is the subject of some sort of a threat or gets their house spray painted or something, maybe that didn't happen to you, but if you're African American, you live in that same neighborhood, you witnessed it, and therefore it is going to be at some level in your conscience. Is that what you're getting at there?
Absolutely. And I think that when you're talking about collective trauma, that's exactly what we're talking about, that I identify with the same identities as this person that's being targeted. Are these things going to start happening to me? Is my family going to be okay? Things like that. And then you also have community members who may not identify with the same identities, but they are still impacted by it because they don't want their children to grow up thinking those things are okay or anything of that realm. And so they begin to be impacted by it and start to say, like, this is not right. We don't want this in our community. I think I also heard you asking earlier, basically saying, like, if someone is impacted by a hate crime, but it's not through the legal definition of a hate crime, can they still utilize our services through Project Speak Up? And the question, and the answer is absolutely. Project Speak Up defines a hate crime as action plus bias motive. And so if someone did something based on some type of bias motive and you've been impacted by it, you can utilize any service at Project Speak Up.
But when someone goes to the legal clinics, what's kind of the process here? Is there the possibility that they could take a case to a prosecutor, or is it, you know, a civil case? What are the options that might be open through the legal clinics?
Well, there'll be a number of different options, and it's all based on the individual case. It's also based on what other cases might be out there, you know, collective, you know, lawsuits, et cetera. It depends upon who is the offending party, individual institution. It depends upon who's the victim, again, individual institution. So I think there's a lot of different factors, and we have a really great legal team that looks at these, and we have lots of different resources from people who do this for a living to be able to say, okay, where does this case fit and what might or might not be a possible path.
It should also be said that while we've had reports of hate crimes, some of these have turned out to be false reports. Does the legal team try to look into that and discern the veracity of someone who says that they've been a victim of something like this?
Can you define what you mean by a false report?
Well, there was one in Ann Arbor where I believe a woman claimed that her hijab was lit on fire, and the police looked into it and said that there was a false report that had not happened as far as they could tell.
So I don't know as far as false reports of what that looks like in reporting, but I do know that sometimes that victims and survivors of violence of any form, they may retract a statement or they may drop the charges, not necessarily because it didn't happen to them, but because they don't know the legal portion or the tenure of prosecuting someone or going through that, or still being in the same neighborhood with the person that you're bringing the charges against. And those things become stressful and overwhelming. And that's another part of trauma that is happening to that survivor and to their family. And so instead of following the suit through, or instead of like filing a police report or whatever, they drop the charges because they don't necessarily want to deal with it. And so sometimes when we see charges being dropped or things like that, we think it's false reports, when it's just like, for holistic health, it's just more beneficial for me not to go through this process and still be this person's neighbor and still be harassed during this 6 months now waiting for a trial than to go through it. And that's what we're trying to do at Project Speak Up, is to be an outlet for individuals who do. That's not on our agenda. Like, everybody that comes in needs to press charges. But if they do seek legal action or want to take a legal route, that we are there to advocate for them and to be a support system for them through that process, so they don't feel overwhelmed, so they don't be stressed out, and so they can begin to take a stance and make an impact in their community for individuals that identify with them and also for their families.
Emily?
And I'd like to add as well that we believe you. When you come to us, we believe you. We're not the law, and we're not going to make that determination. We're going to help you legally, perhaps. We're going to help you emotionally. We're going to talk about what happened. We're going to talk about your trauma, if that's the direction you want to go. But overall, we believe you, and we're not going to decide that. And we don't have a criteria, and if you don't fit it, you don't get to participate. We have resources that are available for anyone in this whole area who is experiencing anything like this.
If someone thinks that they have been a victim of a hate crime, or if they perhaps think that they have witnessed something that is disturbing or falls into what we would call a hate crime, what would you say they should do?
Yeah, so they should give us a call. We have a hotline, and that number is 269-743-9463. And we will walk through the process. Basically, we are here to answer questions and to have a conversation and direct people to the services that they need.
And I think it's also important to highlight that all of our services, whether it's just you calling in or you actually coming and being part of a support group or a legal clinic, all of our services at the YWCA are confidential.
Demetrius Wolverton is Community Education Specialist, and Emily Deering is Project Coordinator for the YWCA of Kalamazoo. Links with more information about Project Speak Up can be found at wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.